Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Line. We are live right here on Sports Grid with you on a Friday morning, a football Friday. Loosely, but I think it certainly still qualifies. I'm Kevin Walsh, and I'm joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you?
Football Friday. You are correct here, Kevin. Nice little appetizer getting us ready to go. Because, you know, if you're going out to a nice high-end steak dinner, Kev, you're ready for the meat and the potatoes like Miami and Alabama to start the season. We won't get that just yet. We're going to get a really good salad this weekend, Kevin. I'm ready for football.
Bama, Miami. I know which one is the meat, and I know which one is the potatoes. Let's get to our 7-7 top headlines there, though. In the world of Major League Baseball, Mad Max strikes out 10 San Diego Padres en route to another Dodgers victory, completing the sweep of their in-division rival.
Could there be a better, you know, trade deadline addition than Max Scherzer, where he just comes over, picks up the baseball, and fires relentlessly for 10 strikeouts a game, dominating the San Diego Padres once again? The minute he got to Los Angeles, it was like, where do I sign up for the World Series here? What's the price on the Los Angeles Dodgers? Even if the Giants aren't going to lose any baseball games, Max Scherzer once again sensational in primetime for the Dodgers. No surprise to me, Kevin.
It is a good point, though, that you kind of alluded to there. The Giants also swept the New York Mets on the road because neither one of those teams ever lose games. Another team that never loses, the New York Yankees, 12 straight, tying a franchise record. They beat Oakland late last night off of an Aaron Judge RBI single in the top of the ninth inning. Chapman closes it out, and the Yanks now have won 12 straight, Donnie.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive performance here, and they did it, I guess you could say, the hard way. Say, hey, 6-0, where are we going out to dinner tonight? Where are we hitting the clubs at? And all of a sudden, this game turned into a 6-6 battle by the end of five innings. But a nice win by the New York Yankees, walking that tightrope again in a game, winning another one-run game. That's all that matters at this point here, putting distance between yourself and the other wild card opponents. That's exactly what you're supposed to do in baseball, heading down the stretch as we head towards September. Another big-time win for the Yankees yesterday. Good for them. Here they go.
I know a couple people that laid a run and a half with the New York Yankees, though, that do not think it was all that good of a performance. One more Major League Baseball headline for us here as Chris Sale throws the third immaculate inning of his career. I think you can certainly say he has been a welcome addition to this Boston Red Sox team as he picks up a victory, and Boston holds steady in that second AL wildcard spot.
Yeah, easy win yesterday, 12-2, when everything works out in your favor. The bats are clicking, you're getting runs on the board. Chris Sale comes back, because I think there was a time period, Kevin, we're saying, like, what do you mean? Well, we're just going to expect Chris Sale to come back and pitch really well, if not pitching for a long time. Well, he is coming back, and he is pitching really well at just the right time that Boston needed to pick me up. But that is sensational. An immaculate inning. Three up, three down, nine pitches. That's pretty hard to do. And to do it three times, impressive.
And Boston certainly needed that kind of boost. We've been projecting out this Red Sox team. If they did land in the wild card spot, what would it look like? If, you know, Eovaldi, Pivetta? No, it's going to be Chris Sale. So that's going to be a difficult sledding there for any team that they possibly would match up with in an AL wild card game. We'll bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to all those who are listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid Radio on this Friday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you going through our top headlines here. And we have Donnie set up today and well as tomorrow, our final slate of NFL preseason action.
Yeah, not excited so much, Kevin, for me for the games itself, but the simple fact being excited that once this game ends, it's time for the real season to begin. 17 games laid out over 18 weeks. We're excited for that to happen here. But I got to say, being a season ticket holder for a long time here in Philadelphia, the last game of the preseason, that's the one you brought your small children to. Why? Because it didn't matter if you watched the game, because, Kevin, you aren't missing anything anyway. Let's get this NFL season underway, and we are ready to go.
I will say, though, the Ravens trying to win and cover another game is something I'm really interested to watch play out here as one football portion is about to say goodbye. Another enters college football week zero. UConn back playing since the first time in 2019. Excited, Donnie, or what?
Yeah, going out to the Valley to take on the Bulldogs. Hey, it looks like they're going to keep it around close here. FanDuel Sportsbook minus 27.5. So that'll be very, very exciting. And also, obviously, we'll talk about these games, you know, a little bit later in the show. Nebraska and Illinois, the center of the college football universe, is Champaign, Illinois. This game should have been in Dublin, Kevin. Why Nebraska and Illinois were supposed to be in Dublin in the first place? I don't know. I have an answer for that one.
That's really unfair to the people of Dublin, Ireland. Hold on. Who's coming now? I don't. Where's Notre Dame? They were supposed to be here quite some time ago. Continue.
I thought it was football, American football. What is going on out here? I thought we were going to have soccer between Nebraska and Illinois.
Yeah, send over the soccer programs for those two schools. It'll probably be a better watch for the people of Dublin, Ireland. How about Rahm and Rory tied for the lead right now at the BMW? I know half that very good for an odds boost.
No, absolutely. And both 8-under playing very good golf. But I think when we were taking a look at that odds boost in the FanDuel Sportsbook, the one guy that was like, hey, thank God this guy is on my side. Yep, that was John Rahm here playing good golf. No surprise at all. We'll watch out through the weekend to see if we can cash that over 400 ticket.
And lastly, an update in terms of the world of soccer. A longtime rival of Donnie's, Cristiano Ronaldo, looks like he could be moving to Manchester City.
Yeah, big time. I mean, if you haven't seen this guy play yet, wait till you see when he gets to Manchester City here and how good of a player he is. You'll be surprised.
It'd be nice for him to get to the Premier League, though, and maybe finally start to catch on, you know, this late in his career. We're coming on back. We're talking Major League Baseball.
Live odds, lines, matchups, injury
reports. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the early line. We're going to preview some of the action for Major League Baseball. Look, it is a packed early line today. Hour number two, previews, previews, previews. And within this hour, we have to also talk a little Seattle Seahawks, talk a little San Francisco 49ers. It's going to rob us of a Friday hot or not. So I might as well kind of bring one to the table right now. And something I've been wanting to pepper Donnie with anyway for quite some time. The Yankees have now won 12 in a row. At this point, Donnie, can I make the case that they are the American League's best team?
Right. Yeah, see, it's interesting because we sit here August 27th and very talented baseball team on a hot streak. It's not, you know, that far gone conclusion where you say, no, there's other teams out there that are better that have been better the entire way. Why not? Why not are the Yankees, are we looking at the Houston Astros right now and saying like, well, they're clearly the cream of the crop at this point? No. So why not the New York Yankees, even though you look at the Tampa Bay Rays because they are ahead of them in the standings? But I think if we just line up those rosters in a seven-game series, you probably would still give the nod to the Yankees. So wouldn't that say, Kevin, that they are the best team in the American League right now? I think I would agree with you at this point right now. Now, hey, things change quickly in Major League Baseball on a week-to-week basis. I've been wrong 700 times on who's going to win divisions, who's going to lose, who's not going to make the playoffs. But right now, as you look at it and propose that question, why not the Yankees?
I think ultimately they are accurately not your AL favorite. It's going to take a lot for them to win their division. And if I've had question marks about the Dodgers status, and the Dodgers are so comfortably the best team in Major League Baseball, at this point you have to, I think, concede that even if you're someone like myself who's had some questions throughout the year, right? But if I've questioned the Dodgers status, right, as the favorite that they are in the NL, I couldn't argue to the Yankees would be the favorite under a similar set of circumstances. But all in all, they were the preseason favorites in the AL, and they're now starting to perform like the team that earned them that status. The Rays are the only team in the American League with a better record than them, though. And that's why I really do bring this up, because if it wasn't for the fact that the Rays, despite not having high-level pitching, despite trading for Nelson Cruz, who I guess is now their best bat midway through the season, I have no idea how this team does this. Despite all of those things, you would, most people would pick the Yankees in a seven-game set, or if at least maybe not the Yankees would be favored in that seven-game set over the Rays. Same record as the Astros, two better than the White Sox, who they've beat five of six meetings here. You can't make an argument for Boston or Oakland over them anymore at this point. And it's what makes a team like the Yankees incredibly interesting, Donnie. They're plus 430 to win the AL right now as long as Gerrit Cole can get you through the wild card game in the same way, Donnie, that I'm sure certainly someone like yourself trusts either Walker Buehler or Max Scherzer or David Price or Clayton Kershaw or whoever they want to get them through a wild card game. The Yanks at plus 430, you start to go series by series. That's a legitimate number.
Yeah, it is a legitimate number. And also, if you take a look at the Yankees, you know, some people say, well, maybe they peaked too early, Kevin. Maybe they, this win streak they would have hoped would have came September 15th to September 27th, heading into the playoffs, set the rotation, and off they go. And I say, you know, I don't really think that matters all that much because you are correct. When they open up the Major League Baseball season this year, the Yankees were in the top standings, or at least in the top odd standings, to win the World Series, win the AL, win the AL East at this point. So it's not a surprise that they finally woke up, because I think we all expected the Yankees have a very good season. And then you say, okay, we're struggling here. We can't get out of our own way. Just treading water midway through the Major League Baseball season. The trade deadline comes up, and you pick up two really good baseball players while the team was struggling. So if everybody can get on the same page, and let's just say, yeah, you know, have nine at-bats in the American League. If you have six working parts and maybe three lagging behind, that's okay, because there's a lot of star potential on this baseball team. And as you're seeing now, Kevin, you're getting the starting pitching, you're getting the bullpen help, and most importantly, that Yankees lineup has woken up at the plate. If you're going to get that Yankee spirit like we've seen over the past couple of years, 5+ runs every game, that's tough to knock out.
Let me ask you this then, Don, as we swing it over to the National League side of things and talking about the teams at the top. The Dodgers just swept the Padres, looked a class above them, and that wasn't the case to start the season. Those teams looked neck and neck as we kind of had thought they might be. The Giants have now won 5 in a row. They sweep the Mets at Citi Field. If there was a FanDuel odds boost, even money, Dodgers or Giants to win the National League, is that something that you would be taking at this point?
Sure, why not? I mean, because I'm just looking at the Dodgers overall. And if anything, it's like the same way we look at the odds boost in the FanDuel Sportsbook for golf. You give me John Rahm in there, I don't really care who you give the other two pieces to me. I want to make sure I have John Rahm in this. It's the same way with the Dodgers. You could say, hey, Donnie, I'll give you the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks to win the National League. I'm in. I'm all in. Even though I know the Diamondbacks are the worst team in the National League, I still get the Dodgers. That's the ticket here, and that's what I would want. So anything that involves the Dodgers for me, Kevin, yeah, I'm in on it.
And the reason I ask it that way, though, because at this point, if I think of it, I can't disagree about what the Dodgers are. They're the best team in baseball, period. And that's not some massive revelation there, but it's been made abundantly clear with the caliber of baseball that they've been playing since we basically hit the deadline, right? But the Giants also just never lose, and they still do have baseball's record there. And I think it's one of those deals where it does feel like it's going to be one of these two teams. And I know Milwaukee's legitimate, and I'm sure, you know, Atlanta's going to be interesting, and we'll find out a lot, I think, about Atlanta with a weekend series coming up here against the Giants. But I just wonder if the Giants' number should be closer to the Dodgers, and if I told you it's going to be one of those two squads, that's the way it would feel. Donnie, if I bring up the NL East, you know, for a team like the Atlanta Braves, I wonder if they almost feel like, look, they did their job by beating them on some bad teams here because, well, the Mets, they can't score ever. They can't score with the bases loaded, much less. And the Phillies, apparently their biggest kryptonite is the Arizona Diamondbacks.
It's interesting with the Phillies because, you know, when we look at the analytical part of the equation, all everybody said, and including myself, because you're just looking at the, you know, hand you're dealt for the Phillies. These guys have the easiest schedule in Major League Baseball over the second half. They're going to take advantage of it. So if you read between the lines on that, Kevin, for the Phillies, hold your own against the Dodgers. Just don't get swept. Hold your own against Tampa Bay. Just don't get swept. The upper echelon baseball teams, the Giants, hold your own against those teams. The Cincinnati Reds, who are fighting for a playoff position, you don't even have to win that series, Kevin. Just hold your own, one of two, because then you're going to get a lot of games against horrendous baseball teams, just like the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have beat them 5 straight games. It's supposed to be a role reversal. You're supposed to hold your own against the good teams and pace these teams and constantly win series, if not sweeping these. Not go a role reversal and say, hey, you know what? We're going to play the Arizona Diamondbacks. They look like they're ready for the World Series, the Diamondbacks, when they take on the Philadelphia Phillies. That's the interesting part, because it's not so much, we talk about, Kevin, the Padres and that schedule. which they can't do anything with right now, starting September 10th and on, that last 3 weeks of the season, one of the worst schedules you will see in Major League Baseball anytime, anywhere. So you say, okay, it's going to be hard for the Padres to get into the playoffs. But it's almost the exact opposite when you looked at the Phillies. Like, you look at the schedule and say, how can they not if they just play 600 baseball versus some of the worst teams in Major League Baseball? And it's not happening here. It just shows the depth of talent that the Phillies have, and it's pretty shallow.
On the Mets portion of this, they're 11-1 to win the division, 55-1 to win the National League. If you bet them to win the division, it feels like you might need a piece of them to win the National League, because they would be able to avoid the wild card game. DeGrom would come back. But the basis of this is, well, is any of that possible? The next 14 Mets games are against either the Nationals or the Marlins. 14 in a row. They just came off a stretch where they played four straight series that were either the Dodgers or the Giants. The series before that was the Nationals. They swept them. Atlanta Braves enter a 10-game set of the Giants, at the Dodgers, and at the Rockies. And I know you might say the Rockies, one of the best home teams in all of Major League Baseball here. I know that a lot of people have left the Mets for dead. Based on schedule alone, I am not there yet. They have some gaudy numbers on them. And if they can beat the teams that they're supposed to, which they have done for the most part of this season, they might not be done just yet. Up next, we're talking Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. Make sure you go follow us over at Sports Grid as well as at Sports Grid TV. Keep up to date with all of the latest doings, betting advice, breaking news, all of the most important information can be found at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Plus, it's Follow Back Friday. Follow Back's coming left and right on the Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV account. Trust me, they have to be coming. I couldn't imagine that they're not. They're on the way. I think Donnie might be following people back at Right Side VP. I am not at the Kevin Walsh, but follow me. I will follow nobody back. No, that's not true. Maybe we'll see. Tweet me something about AEW, maybe. AEW Rampage tonight. Big show. All right, I digress. We got to talk about the Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson, and the crew. Donnie, let me just start right here. You and I were not doing this show together during the NFL season. Where do you land on let Russ cook, a.k.a. Pete Carroll has no idea he has a top three quarterback on his roster and we're trying to create campaigns for him to stop leaning on Chris Carson at all of the worst wrong times?
Yeah, but here's my feeling on Russell Wilson. If anybody's followed me on social media and seen any videos I've ever done in football, I tell Russell Wilson this each and every year. Here's what you should do, Russ. Say I'm not playing football this year. And why do I do that? Because I want 50% stake in the Seattle Seahawks or I will not play this year. And if I'm ownership for Seattle, I give him the 50% stake. There is not one more important player in the NFL over the past, decade than Russell Wilson is to the Seattle Seahawks. Every single week, I used to even joke, Kevin, their offensive line isn't bad. I said, don't invest any money in the offensive line whatsoever. You don't even need an offensive line because Russ will cook and make whatever he needs to happen each and every play. One of my favorite players to watch in the NFL, a true dominant football player that carries that franchise on his back every single year, Kevin. Amazing stuff with Russell Wilson. That's where I stand, right in his corner.
Good. I agree. I'm glad we're on the same page with this one. The only problem is that he's not done any of that, and he's still with the Seattle Seahawks, and we're going to do this another charade that they've changed the offensive coordinator. It is so incredible that guy was a minus money favorite to win the MVP. They changed their outlook, and then all of a sudden they fell apart, and they couldn't score during the playoffs. Russ is, just to jump straight to it, I know we usually start with the win totals and odds in the conference and everything like that, but Donnie's right too, right? The end-all, be-all of this whole thing is Russ. He's 20-1 to win NFL MVP. We've talked about this award, and it is one in which I don't know where all of the value is. Again, it might just be Mahomes to win the darn thing outright there. But for Russell Wilson to be 20-1, and your Matthew Staffords, your Josh Allens, your reigning MVP and Aaron Rodgers to be half of the number that Russ is, I have no problem if people are betting Russ at that number there, Donnie, and even some of his season-long player props to the over.
Exactly. I mean, if they just let him go, and I guess maybe there's something to it where, hey, we don't want to, you know, put him in too many dangerous positions. He's under siege, it seems like, all the time, specifically from that offensive line not being very good. You see the passing numbers there, 4,250 yards, you know, most passing yards in the NFL, 37-1, most touchdown passes, 7-1. When you think about Russell Wilson, you know, I always like to try to equate things to different sports, Kevin, and I always bring up like Shaquille O'Neal, who was the most dominant player in basketball for a decade, but we can't give him the MVP every year because we like to switch it up, and, you know, the new shiny toy that comes along, we give it to them. Every single year, Russell Wilson is a legitimate top three MVP candidate. Look at last year, 4,200 yards, Kevin, 40 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions. He does this at will every single time. He has the weapons at wide receiver, a good running game. If they can just cobble together a little bit of an offensive line presence, he dominates every year, and he's there, and he's available. Look at his career, Kevin. 2012, becoming the starter as a young kid in the NFL. 16 starts. Oh, yeah. Go over the next decade that he's been in the NFL, roughly. Every single year, Kevin, 16 starts. He's ready, he's available, and dominates every single week.
Also, I believe he threw 24 touchdowns in the first 7 weeks of action, and they were 6-1. It's a good thing that they kept running the foot. What a nonsense team. I didn't even have futures on him. I just can't stand that, like, Pete I would have fired the guy, but again, that's not important right now because he's still the head coach, and we're going to have to make some decisions based on this team, knowing that they're still the head coach. And they still won the division and all that. So they're such an interesting franchise here. When we start to look at some of the season-long numbers, Donnie, for the Seattle Seahawks here, whether it be their odds to win the division, third choice behind the Niners and the Rams, whether it be that win total, a flat 10, Super Bowl if you want to back Russ, odds to win the NFC. Do any of the season-long numbers here on the Seattle Seahawks jump out?
Yeah, it's interesting because we're taking a look there. Obviously, Super Bowl 20-1, 10-1 to win the conference. They're a legitimate chance to win all of those. Why? Because they have Russell Wilson. And also keep in mind, Kevin, some things that we sort of brush over from the 2020 season. The ultimate home field advantage to me in the NFL lies in three places: Seattle, Kansas City, and New Orleans. When the house is full, electric atmosphere, it's deafening. The opposing team has a tough time running their offense because the 12th man in Seattle has that much of an impact in the game. That wasn't the case last year. So maybe that defense will get an extra boost from that 12th man screaming and roaring like a jet engine on Sundays. But here's the issue that we have, and as we talked about a lot of these NFC West teams. If they weren't in the NFC West, those numbers that they would have currently would be steals across the board because they probably would win the division, which give them a higher seed to get into the playoffs and rightfully so to win the conference and maybe get to a Super Bowl. But the fact that you are playing a hellacious schedule each and every week in conference where there are no easy victories. You don't get to play the Houston Texans twice. You don't get to play the, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars twice at this point. That's going to be the issue that comes up to bite them. Will they be in each and every game? Absolutely. But when I see the double-digit wins at 10, meaning you need 11 wins to cash that ticket, I think they're in that rightful place here, Kevin, in the NFC West, where they're slotted to be the third-place team. Maybe making it into the playoffs, but just having those tough games in division makes it so hard to advance. And if you do, you're not going to probably be the number one overall seed or the number two overall seed to try to get a favorable seeding in order to make it to the Super Bowl. That's why it's tough for the Seahawks. I like this football team. They're going to have a good season, Kevin, but I'm not really invested or interested in their futures market just because of the division that they play in.
So the win total is 10. In 9 Russell Wilson seasons, they have failed to win 10 games once, and they won 9. They've landed bang on 10 3 times. The thing is, if you believe that they're going to win 10, 11 football games here, Donnie, they're minus 130 to make the playoffs. It's really not outrageous if somebody tells me that the entire lot of the NFC West gets into the postseason. Russ at minus 130 to make the playoffs off of winning a division, I think that's a good number. I think it's about as good of a number as you will find on a quarterback of his caliber. Again, go out there and compare Russell Wilson's odds to make the playoffs to Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers, Brady, and Lamar Jackson. You will see why I think this jumps off the page. Now, again, it's not lost on me, the division that Russ plays in, the fact that they are the third choice. But this, at this point, Donnie, it's probably favored. And I mean, it is favored for three NFC West teams to make the postseason. I think the minus 130 on Seattle to get into and be one of the top seven teams in the NFC is as strong of a make the playoff number as we'll probably see throughout our previews.
I agree. And it just is so simplified, Kevin. If I can get, and why, this isn't even like a day, hey, I hope he stays healthy. No, he's healthy every single year. If I get 17 weeks out of Russell Wilson, how are they not going to be in the playoffs? I mean, honestly, and I just said, you know, hey, you're contradicting yourself because of how tough that division is. I understand that. But when it all comes down to a game-to-game basis, if I get Russell Wilson in his prime every week and healthy, I have a legitimate chance to win every single game I play, whether it's home or away. It doesn't matter. That's how good the guy is at quarterback. So, yes, I do think the NFC West is going to have a big-time impact on the playoffs, but I'm just trying to sort of hedge those bets, so to speak, and say, hey, this is a really good football team, but an elite division.
No doubt about it. Don, as far as some of the skill positions, the player props here, Metcalf season-long receiving number, Lockett season-long receiving number, even a Chris Carson rushing props are available. From that trio of guys, does anybody jump out? Obviously, Metcalf had that true elite breakout season, but Lockett always in the mix. Anybody from that group of skill players jumping out to you?
Yeah, I don't see any slowing down here from DK Metcalf. 1,303 yards he had last year, but again, he's going to have to do a little bit better this season, Kevin, to cash in that ticket. 1,325. It's a high number. And, it, you know, it seems like we're talking about this, like, hey, we think this guy can get it. He's a dominant football player if he stays healthy. But there's so many more things that impact an NFL season. And I always say, like, we're not just talking about that 1,000-yard marker, which I'm going to go over in just a few moments of why, like, another player on the Seattle Seahawks. Everything has to go right, Kevin, to get 1,350 yards. You have to be healthy. The quarterback has to be healthy. You know, the offensive line has to be healthy. You have to be engaged all 17 games of the season. And if that goes right, sure, you can get it. But if anything goes wrong and you have to miss 2 to 3 games, that's out the window. So we take a look at Tyler Lockett here. I think it's much more approachable that he gets his number. Look at the last three seasons, Kevin. 2018, 965 yards. 2019, 1,057 yards. And then we had 1,054 yards in 2020. It just seems like he's that steady wide receiver. You know, receptions, 100 last year. The last 2 years, over 100 targets. I think he's going to get that same type of common plays because when you're trying to double team and take one wide receiver away from Seattle, for me, it's DK Metcalf. And I do think Tyler Lockett would be able to eat underneath in the slot and have a big-time impact this year. I like him to get 1,000 yards because, as I said, Kevin, if he misses a game or two, you're probably still safe with that 1,000 yards.
Totally agree. Been able to get to that grand two consecutive seasons in a row. The fact that it's below that number, the fact that you get the extra game this season. And if you really want a dart throw, Lockett at 17-1 to have the most receiving touchdowns in the NFL. He had the same amount as Metcalf last year, and Metcalf is plus 950. Lockett is likely where you'll find your value on Seattle skill players. Coming on back here, the San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy G versus Trey Lance.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. San Francisco 49ers. What a fascinating team this is going to be. Every single year, you typically have a team that goes from fourth place to first place. The Niners are favored to win their division. They were in fourth place last year. It feels all too easy. 10.5 is their win total. They trade up and draft Trey Lance, but Jimmy Garoppolo back healthy and ready to roll with Kyle Shanahan and this Niners offense this season. You look at their odds to win the division, the odds to win the conference, odds to win a Super Bowl. Clearly, there is no thoughts about this team maybe slowing down or losing their pedigree in people's eyes. They are booked as one of the best teams in this league, Donnie. Anything jumping off the page here with some of these Niners numbers?
Yeah, the interesting thing jumping off the page to me overall, you know, 14-1 to win the Super Bowl, plus 650 to win the conference. And it's interesting because if you ask me once again who my favorite NFL football coach is, I like to bet team totals, like to go over. When I need a skilled game plan laid out and watch guys run wide open with a big-time running game, it's Kyle Shanahan for the 49ers. And it's not even close to me. I love McVay, you know, right down the road in the state of California. He's probably 1A. But if I need one game plan for one team to score points, regardless of who's out there, from a starter that may be Jimmy Garoppolo or a young kid in Trey Lance, I know I'm getting that honest offensive effort from the 49ers. But I have to say here, Kevin, it's been kind of an interesting couple weeks for me because I'm building up the 49ers saying, hey, once they get healthy, they're going to dominate. Jimmy G, you know, veteran quarterback. You don't need him to shine out there and throw 40 touchdowns. You just need him to be serviceable, and that offense will click because Shanahan will dial up the correct reads each and every play. But as I look overall at the season schedule, as I look at the actual odds and how hard it is going to be to win that division, I sort of start to sour a little bit on the 49ers when I didn't think I would get to that place. Because I look at the overall division winner here, which we have is the San Francisco 49ers on the FanDuel Sportsbook at a plus 190. They're in the lead here, just behind them the Rams, plus 200, Seattle Seahawks 280, and the Arizona Cardinals 600. I'm almost starting to think at this point here, Kevin, the Rams should actually be the favorite here preseason over the San Francisco 49ers. And I know a lot goes into this. It doesn't really have too much for me, Kevin, a read on how the 49ers are doing on the preseason or if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starting quarterback. But as I see the things and they play out, I think the 49ers be a very good football team. But as it stands right now in late August, I'm not so sure, Kevin, they should be the favorite in this division for me.
So the interesting thing is Shanahan has now been in San Francisco for four full seasons. He has had competent slash healthy quarterback play once. 13 games, best record in the conference, went to the Super Bowl. The reason why I wonder if they also wanted to add Trey Lance. See, the problem for people is they only know how to talk about injury-prone quarterbacks if they're healthy. Or rather, if they are athletic, if they're running around all of the time. Jimmy Garoppolo has had two season-ending injuries in two of his 3 years, basically, as the Niners quarterback. Again, the 1 year he stayed healthy, 13 wins, they go to the Super Bowl. You now have Trey Lance behind him. That makes me more interested, Donnie, in some of the season-long propositions that we have here for the Niners overall, because I think Shanahan can win with either one of these guys. And if it's Garoppolo for 7 weeks, and if it's going to be Trey Lance for the final 10, fine. I trust him. And that might be the best route to go. We've talked a lot, Donnie, about Garoppolo versus Trey Lance. We've both agreed it's always going to be Garoppolo getting the ball the first week of the season. But long term, the Niners make the playoffs. You believe they make the playoffs. The odds heavily suggest they'll make the playoffs. Who's starting that postseason game in your eyes?
It's got to be Jimmy Garoppolo. And the interesting part about this, Kevin, is, you know, the 49ers were back-channeling a couple different quarterbacks. And boy, oh boy, the same way we talk about the Denver Broncos, what could have been, or maybe even a trade to the Philadelphia Eagles. If Deshaun Watson, Kevin, or Aaron Rodgers ended up on the 49ers, they would run away with the NFC. And I say, wait, Tampa Bay just won a Super Bowl, all starters back. No, hear me out. They would have run away with the NFC with Kyle Shanahan dialing up plays for either Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. Look at the year they went to the Super Bowl, Kevin. 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Very pedestrian season, which leads you to believe that as long as they get decent quarterback play, they can go far. But I really didn't understand the move all that much on a team that you thought was ready to win the Super Bowl now, spend all that capital, not for a veteran Pro Bowl quarterback, but for a rookie coming in, and then expecting him, Kevin, to maybe get the reins by week 10 or 11 on a decent football team and carry them into the playoffs. For them to win a Super Bowl, Kevin, for them to go deep into the playoffs, it has to be Garoppolo for me.
It's going to be very interesting. I wouldn't be surprised to see Lance take the job, but I think where things get difficult is I think results would have to start to fall back, right? Like, if you just go through the Niners schedule, something that we often do, first 5 weeks, their bye week is week six. That probably doesn't help Trey Lance in terms of trying to take this job away from a Garoppolo. At Detroit, at Philly, they might be touchdown favorites on the road in both those games. Home versus Green Bay, home versus Seattle, at Arizona. They're going to be favorites in the first five of their football games. In fact, I mean, they're going to be favorites in almost all of their games except for maybe two or three of them. They then hit the bye week. I really wonder if Shanahan would be willing to do the Brian Flores, yes, I know we're winning, but Trey Lance is way more important than Garoppolo in the way Brian Flores said Tua is way more important than Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I trust Shanahan. If he makes that decision, I'm fine with that move by Kyle Shanahan. And that's why I think some of the season-long numbers, your 10.5, right, of a win total. Again, 11-6. Donnie, he had 1 year of legitimate quarterback play and won 13 games. I guess the one thing, if you wanted to offer the counter, because I have to be consistent here, Brandon Staley now coaches the Chargers. You lose a defensive coordinator who everybody spoke very highly of. Same deal with the Niners. New head coach for the New York Jets, Robert Saleh, is now gone. Will this Niners defense be able to keep the same level of play that we had come to expect from them?
I think they will. And here's the caveat here when we're taking a look about that Brian Flores Miami Dolphins game plan. There's two different scenarios here that are entering in. When the Dolphins took the field week one, there wasn't really deep playoff aspirations. There wasn't really let's win the division. There wasn't anything Super Bowl on the horizon. So the Miami Dolphins are saying, okay, we have a plethora of draft picks, a lot of cap space. Let's make sure we made the right move when we got Tua Tagovailoa. Let's let him sink or swim with roughly, you know, a team that's 500 or a game above 500. We enter into the season much different here with the San Francisco 49ers. As we take a look again on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you had them as the favorite to win the division. They're a highly team, they're a team that's ranked above to try to get to the Super Bowl, most teams in the NFC. So when I look at this as let's see him sink or swim, I don't know if this is the football team to do it with because they're expected to be into the playoffs and make a run. If you're going to play, you know, mad scientist midway through the season where Jimmy Garoppolo is 7-2 after week nine, like now's the time to put Trey Lance in and see if we can carry him to a Super Bowl because I think he gives us the best chance. I disagree, but I do agree with you on one point here, Kevin. The future of the San Francisco 49ers is not Jimmy Garoppolo. So if your honest assessment is, boy, the quicker I get him into NFL action, and even if we don't make a deep playoff run, but Trey Lance gets that experience, watch out for year two. We're going to probably really put the gas on and get to the Super Bowl or make a run in the conference. But there's two different trains of thought here between the Dolphins and the 49ers, but I can see it both ways. If we're about championships, Kevin, the sooner you get Trey Lance on, the better it is.
Well, I tell you, though, Donnie, we go through... It's very difficult to figure out how much do you want to value a team's schedule, right? The outlook of a schedule, Donnie, because you never – we get to week 11 and maybe the Bengals have surprised people. The non-division road games for the Niners, the Lions supposed to be last in their division, the Eagles last in their division, the Bears at best third in their division, right? The Jaguars, they won a football game last season. The Bengals, last in their division. The Titans are the only opponent on the road outside of division where they're not laying near a touchdown, probably. This schedule here, because then they're obviously home the rest of the games here, and we all know division games are pretty much tight regardless. Like last year, they were able to beat up on Arizona when typically you wouldn't have thought that that would have been able to be the case here. Like you go through this thing, Donnie, this Niners schedule just sets up for them to bludgeon opponents, and it makes for, again, the 10.5 alternate win totals, or even something that we had talked about, the best regular season record. I think everything is in play for this Niners team.
You're right. And the same way we're talking about today, if you guys watched the previews yesterday and relating it to college football, the dichotomy between the Utah schedule and the UCLA schedule. That's why we get these formulations of how these teams are supposed to finish at plus 190 being the favorite in the NFC West on the FanDuel Sportsbook, or a team that has a much tougher slate. The interesting part of this, again, is because we don't have those numbers on Jimmy Garoppolo. I think if we had a perfect storm and a perfect season, you still would be able to hand the baton off somewhat to Trey Lance. But the fact that we're trying to put this in, if I have, and it's hard to differentiate this between what's going to happen and what you think is going to happen. If Jimmy Garoppolo, Kevin, plays 17 games, they're going to get their team total win over. But is that what's most important for the San Francisco 49ers, or do they believe that even if Trey Lance comes in and struggles, that still gives them the best chance to win? If I have a healthy veteran quarterback with a Kyle Shanahan-led football team that can stay healthy, which they didn't last year, if they do, this is a very good football team. But when we are gamblers, bettors, and try to hedge those opportunities, boy, it would really hurt, Kevin, if they run out to a 7-1 lead and Shanahan's like, you know what? We have a big lead, which means we're going to get to the playoffs regardless. Let's let the young kid get his growing pains here throughout the second half of the season. Maybe you stumble down the stretch and still get in, but that's what's most important to the health of the franchise with a franchise quarterback over the next 5 years, which Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be, Kevin.
For me, though, Donnie, I look at the schedule. Unless Trey Lance is... You don't want to jump the gun on rookie quarterbacks. But, Donnie, unless he's terrible, based on schedule, weaponry, and, of course, head coach, Donnie, like, okay, let's enter this alternate universe. They announce tomorrow Trey Lance gets the football. Are you under on the 10.5? I'm still over. And if they adjust the number down, what a treat that would be. Like, this schedule is light. Shanahan made Nick Mullins look legitimate.
You hit the right point there, Kevin, because if he's made the starter tomorrow, that number is going to downshift by at least of a half of a game, and you would wait on it to get it. If that number stayed exactly the same, I would be on the under. That's a rookie quarterback in the NFL who didn't play high-level college football and played one game last year in college football, which is the de facto exhibition game that they put on. I just don't think he's ready just yet. You have to ease him into it. So if he was going to be the starter for 17 games and that number did not change, I would be on the under for their team total.
I see it differently, and I'll tell you this as much. I think if they named him the starter tomorrow, I think he should jump Lawrence in terms of being the favorite for offensive rookie of the year.
Ooh,
because he would be favored to make the postseason, and Trevor Lawrence would be favored to win six games.
Yep.
So I think Trey Lance – and to be honest with you, Lance – if he gets the ball by week four, the results that they could put up or would be expected to put up in San Francisco could mitigate Lawrence's overall numbers being bigger. We're coming up against the break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a couple season-long numbers on Kittle, Brandon Ayuk here, and take a look at what's always a crowded Kyle Shanahan running back room as we finish off the NFC West and the San Francisco 49ers.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last little segment here for hour number one. Donnie, George Kittle, for most people's money, the second best tight end in this league. A season-long number of 1,100.5 yards. And then 825.5 for Brandon Ayuk, who came on strong in the games that he was available for this team. Deebo Samuel also a listed option. Again, real tough to tell, though, Donnie, because of just how banged up they were, knowing who's priority one, who's priority two, and how they'll be spreading this football around. But do any of these season-long numbers for this team jump out?
They all jump out to me, actually. Now, you can't take all three and go to the over because, you know, sooner or later, somebody's going to eat and somebody's not going to eat or get injured. But if I look at, you know, the type of player that Deebo Samuel is, he's going to be used a lot. But, boy, he was so banged up last year. And I don't want to get caught in that rut saying, hey, he's going to be out there 2 weeks, miss a week with a hamstring injury. And he's such a physical wide receiver where he runs a lot of those reverses and those quick bubble screens. So you're taking shots from linebackers. But the other two I really like, keep in mind also, having decent football season means you have to stay healthy. Kittle, you know, we would like him to be healthy, obviously. If he is for 17 weeks, he blows away that 1,100-yard number here as a tight end. But I really like Brandon Ayuk here because also keep in mind, you have a young kid trying to learn the system, had some success with some bad quarterback play last year. What happens if we get good quarterback play from a healthy team? I think Brandon Ayuk here steals it for me, Kevin, going over the 825. I love him to be hovering right around that 1,000 mark for the season.
Ultimately, it's something we've gone over before. Low man. Ayuk's the low man. And by the way, as a legitimate wide receiver, I mean, there's a world in which he comes in and leads this team in targets. It's probably going to be Kittle, but at least leads that wide receiver room. I absolutely agree. This NFC West is stacked, loaded. There's so many different legitimate options there, and they all almost feel positive. I think I feel like we left win total all over four of them. Maybe you cash three out of the four. They all might make the playoffs. A loaded, loaded division. But up next here is hour number two, and we're starting it off with some Major League Baseball preview. Hot and ready, hour number two. The Early Line continues.
Sometimes winning just comes down to attitude. Well, that and listening to us 16 hours a day.
Just saying. So keep it up.